Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, titled, The Gospel Matters Most. At BBF, we take a strong stand on biblical doctrine, but we also attempt to demonstrate a biblical attitude of grace and patience with those outside of our local church family who may hold doctrinal views and practices that we disagree with, but they do preach the biblical gospel. And we also view life's tragedies and events with this same attitude. That attitude is simply this: the gospel matters most. And we will see Paul giving us this admonition to follow that very same attitude in this text. Now, if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we join this study in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, titled, The Gospel Matters Most. And we begin with a little short clip of a video confirming our warnings about the Red Cross as we begin part 1 of 2. All right, if you would turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We covered in verses 12, beginning verse 12, 12 through 18. And I'm not providing you the slides, so if you don't have a Bible, we've got Bibles in the pew. If you're going to follow along, you need to open a Bible. We've got this novel idea here at Bible Believers Fellowship that we ought to help you learn your Bible. So that includes your app, if you're using an app, phone app or something. Learn your app, your Bible app. All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a good crowd this morning. It's always more fun to preach to people than it is to preach to empty pews. And we're thankful because in this day and age, there is a falling away, an apostasy taking place. And so the number of born-again Bible believers is, at least percentage-wise, a lot smaller than it would have been in years past. But we're thankful that we're not alone. We have a church family that we can gather together with and sing songs together and pray together. And open this book and learn so that we can be equipped to walk out the doors this afternoon into the world to be your ministers. And that's what we ask as you guide us in this study, Lord. Help me to present what I've collected to present, but many times your word will speak in ways that I would never verbalize, I would not say, but by your Spirit you can minister to people where they are according to your word. And we thank you for that and pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Before going to study, I don't want to interrupt that guy. I'm going to show you a clip before we get into our study. Last week, as part of one of my illustrations, I talked about the Red Cross. And, and I tell people, don't hesitate to ask me. If you doubt something or you just want more information, go research. Go find out what's going on. But a week later, I'm going to show you, this is one of the city councilmen in the city of Houston. And he's going to tell you exactly what I told you last week.
Now, my last rant will be on the Red Cross. Because the Red Cross, if anybody wants to donate to the Red Cross, please call me. I beg you not to send them a penny. They are the most inept, unorganized organization that I've ever experienced. I've been in Kingwood fighting this thing, and we have not seen one person, not a single person from the Red Cross. Yet, every time I turn on the TV, they're receiving multi-hundreds of millions of dollars. What are you guys doing with it? How many contractors are you helping us with? So, to this day, Many days after the hurricane hit, I have not seen a single person in Kingwood or in Clear Lake that's a representative of the Red Cross. You know who opened our shelters? We did. You know who sent water and supplies? We did. People didn't have cots. We got them blankets. We didn't get a darn thing from the Red Cross. So if anybody wants to send them money, don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. Send it to other causes. Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks, Councilman Martin. Councilman Kubach?
That's what I was telling you.
Will you be able to today to
look at fuel? That's funny. I left that in there. I get that a lot. But that's what I was just telling you. You want to send money, I'm all for sending money to help those people down in Houston. But don't waste your money. Send it down to the people in Houston. You can find out there are churches and ministries, organizations in Houston. Same thing here in Florida when this thing blows through. Find out local. That's the way it is with ministries, folks. If you're sending your money off to these national ministries, you need to do a little research. You know, I don't receive a dime from this ministry. Do you know that? But there's nothing wrong with a church taking care of their pastor. If something happened to Jenny and I couldn't make it, and I couldn't work because I do have health issues and everything, I wouldn't hesitate to come here and say, listen, folks, I'm going to have a monthly stipend. And if you didn't love me, you'd walk out that door. Sayonara. But right now, I don't need it. Jenny and I put ourselves in a situation where we could have this ministry and you not have to support me financially. Praise God. Amen? But I'll tell you one thing. I don't care who he is. I don't care how big his church is. Nobody should be making more money than the people in the pews. Amen. And a lot of these churches and ministries are making, the pastors, making $125,000, $150,000 a year, plus all kinds of other benefits and perks and everything else. Yeah. And, so you got to watch out for ministries. But I'm talking about, when I say $125,000, $150,000, I'm talking about some preachers here in the county here. I'm talking about the guys who are heading these churches locally. No. Making two or three times what some of the people in the pews are making. But you talk about the national ministries, $500,000 a year, $1 million a year. And their excuse is because they're a big ministry and they bring in a lot of money. Folks, if you believe that, you ain't got no common sense. And you need to find out where your money's going and not send it to people who are going to milk it. Amen. And that's what it, and you say you look a little frustrated or angry. Yeah, because that money could be going to Bibles, could be going to gospel tracts, Amen. Could be going to getting the gospel out to people. And Amen. And or could be helping them out. You know, some people need a hand up, you know. And so the Red Cross is another, and when it comes to charities, they're what are they doing with the money? I'm doing more research, but I believe they're using a lot of the money to push a liberal agenda.
Yeah. Amen.
And a lot of these organizations go around trying to cultural diversity, inclusiveness. That's buzzwords for Romans 1:32, love Sodom.
Yeah.
If you hear the word inclusive, you hear the word cultural diversity, they could care less about racial issues. Just watch the news. They want us to hate each other based on our skin color. That's what they want. Because that gives them the impetus for government control. But what they also want is for you to not call things sin that God calls sin. It's not murdering babies, it's abortion. It's not Sodom, it's homosexuality. It's not sodomite marriage, it's gay marriage. See what I'm saying? It's 1984, George Orwell, Newspeak, and it's mind control.
Yeah.
So there you go. As we get into this study, Philippians 1, 12 through 18, we're titling this, The Gospel Matters Most. And that's why you hear things like you just heard from me. We got this strange thing here at BBF where we love you enough to tell you the truth.
Amen.
And see, a lot of churches and Christians in general don't think like that. They're programmed not to think that my duty is to preach the truth. But that's not what most of the preachers today think. They think it's their duty to bring in as many people and get as much money coming in as possible. They function like, no offense, Johnny, but like McDonald's. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with McDonald's functioning like that. They're a business. The church is not a business.
Amen.
We shouldn't function like that.
Amen.
And what always should be our priority is first and foremost the preaching and teaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
And as far as what we do as a ministry, the gospel.
Amen.
That's the priority. There are other things we'll get involved in, other things we'll do, but the gospel matters most. Amen?
Amen.
So, we left off where Paul expressed his love for fellow believers, the previous verses, and his desire for a true and biblical love, one toward another. And I hope that if you didn't hear the previous message, you will, because it's very important. We're building as we go through these, from one sermon to the next, one study to the next. It's building. Build upon what you heard last time. But let's go ahead and pick up there in verse 12 and read that with me. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now, the things that happened to Paul is that Paul had been imprisoned. Paul had been arrested for preaching the gospel. Now, just pretend I'm not walking to the back of the room and answer this question. How many of you have ever been arrested for preaching the gospel? Anybody? How many of you have tried?
Amen.
Amen. Every hand should go up right now. How many of you tried? What do you mean tried? That means you just preach the gospel and you don't care where you are.
Amen.
You don't care. I've had people say, you know, because we've gone on to parking lots that are privately owned, like Walmart. And the cop will come and chase us off. And they'll say, well, you know, they don't want you out there doing that. I said, the whole world doesn't want me doing it.
Amen.
So what do? You obey God's law.
Amen.
And preach the gospel to every creature. And if some guy comes out with his little Walmart vest on and says, you need to leave, then you ask to see the manager. And while he's getting the manager, you keep handing out tracts. And when the manager comes out, you say, wait a minute, this is privately owned property. Yes. Are you the owner? Well, no. Well, then how do you know that the owner doesn't want me to be here? And while I'm talking to him, the other people are still handing out tracts. And then at some point we leave. Usually when I'm done. Amen. It doesn't take that long. Why do you do that? Because the biblical example, how many of you in here know that you're not my example?
Amen.
I'm not going to base what I do on what you do or what you think.
Amen.
So what do? In the Bible, Jesus preached that He was God manifest in the flesh, and He preached it illegally on the Temple Mount. And that's what I'm going to do. Paul preached everywhere he went, even when it was illegal.
Amen.
And if they cuff you like they did Paul, praise God. What are you going to do then? We'll see. I'm going to wait on that just for a second. But the typical response to what Paul had gone through, and usually people go through bad stuff and it really doesn't have much of anything to do with them serving the Lord. Most of us, and I'm right there, most all the bad stuff's happened to me really didn't have anything to do with me serving the Lord. It's just living in a fallen world.
Yeah.
Got news for you. This is a bad place.
Amen.
You know, I raised the girls, you know, the power of negative thinking. And some of their friends and everything, they were Christian, but they were taught, you know, oh, if you just live for Jesus, everything will be lollipops and happy faces. And, you know, that's. And then they'd come over to our house and they hear me say, girls, you walk out of there showing your rear end or your breasts hanging out, you're attracting some of the worst people on the planet, and you're inviting getting raped. And so what's Oprah and the nuts on TV tell the girls? You have a right to walk around looking like that.
Yeah.
Well, see, there's two things. Is it legal? Is it smart?
Amen.
You have a legal right to run around showing your boobs and your butt. That's legally, that's okay. In Columbus, you can walk around without a shirt on if you're a woman, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Is that smart?
No,
see? And so I would tell them, there's bad people out there. And that's what Christians ought to wake up to. I know it's not always happy, happy, but you know what? Most people don't like Jesus. And so if you got Jesus in you and you act like Jesus, they're going to want to kill you just like they did Jesus. As a matter of fact, the thing that we ought to be asking is if they're not trying to kill you, they don't hate you, why not? What's wrong? What's the problem here?
Yeah.
Amen. They say, why, God, why did this happen? And I've been there. There have been a couple of times where things just collapsed. And my first response was, why? Why? But see, I'd read the Bible enough. And I have the Holy Spirit in me. So within a few milliseconds of saying that, the Holy Spirit said to me, you know exactly why. You know why. And it's not always because you did something. You're in a fallen world. That's why. Why did my house get destroyed in a hurricane? Because you're on planet Earth. And especially if you choose to live in Florida, forget it. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. Amen? So how crazy is it then for people to turn around and say, why? Your address. That's God's answer. Look where you chose to live. And in Ohio, it's like tornadoes and floods. You know, the stuff happens. So then the question is, do you have Paul's response? A little reality check. It's not easy, but it's the right attitude. What matters is how God can use what happens to us for the furtherance of the gospel. You know the best thing about me dying? I'm going to die if I don't get taken up in the rapture. The best thing about me dying is my funeral. They're going to preach the gospel. If not, God's going to let me come back and terrorize you. But if Jenny's still alive, Mariah's still around, Stephen's still kicking, I know I've got some folks who are going to make sure that whoever preaches my funeral is going to preach the gospel. You say Charlie? Oh, I didn't name Charlie. Olivia. Who else do I need to name? Olivia, you'll make sure, even if Charlie doesn't. Yeah, Gloria's. How many of you thought of your death like that? You know, people die in crazy ways. See that guy that was swallowed up by a sinkhole a few years ago? Sitting there on his TV, watching TV and gone. Isn't that a way to go? A bunch of people looking down. Yeah, he got caught up in the moment. Swallowed up in the moment. People die, you know, and there's a guy, people my age, that just drop dead from a heart attack or an aneurysm or something, you know. So, you know, you think about when you die, what good's going to come of it? Get your funeral arrangements together and make sure they're going to preach the gospel. Amen? You should think of everything in your life about that. Everything you think of. When you people talk about retirement, I feel sorry for, you know, folks who, when they talk about retiring, They can't, you know, Doug, this is his last month. And, you know, Doug was saying, you know, I got to think about, you know, weigh the the pros and the cons, and, you know, what am I going to do when I retire? That's what you got to think of. And there are people who don't think of that, or retire, and if they're not serving the Lord, they're not living for the Lord, they wake up one day and realize, I'm bored. Why? Well, if they get busy serving the Lord, they wouldn't be bored. And what matters most in everything that happens in your life is how what you're going through or what is going on in your life can be used of God for the furtherance of the gospel. You guys are talking about your college. We've got a bunch of people here in college and everything. Did you choose what to do in college? I'll look right at you and point at you. Because it's true. Did you choose to do what you're doing in college because you know that as you go in that direction, God's going to be able to use it for His glory? If not, you made the wrong choice. If so, God bless you. That's how simple it is. I'll give you my story. I went to prison to work. I saw somebody looking at me and said, "Hey, you got anything? I can't sit under a preacher who's been to prison. Why not?" But I was so desperate for a job in Southern Ohio, I went to one of the worst places I think a man could work. Lucasville. And, I had security clearance and all that. And I got in there, and I was working around some pretty bad characters. And I thought, I wonder if I get in trouble if I tell these people about Jesus. Well, God had just so worked it out that the man who was the supervisor was a pastor. And at least two of my coworkers were good Christian people. And so I used wisdom. I kind of got to know some of the kids. They brought some of the same people, prisoners, down to work in the area I was in. And there's this one fellow in particular, but I got to share the gospel to a number of those men in there. One of them was a fellow who had killed his girlfriend. He was a juvenile. So when he's 21, they let him out of prison. 6 months later, he decided he couldn't handle freedom. So he hunted down the prosecuting attorney and one of the other people who had got him convicted, and he executed them. And he's down there in prison. And I'm not boasting or anything, I'm just telling you a story that he would say something. He found out who I was, what I was about, and he'd start picking at me about this and that, and I'd answer him. And he'd say something about the Bible, and I'd answer it. He'd say something about, you know, bad things happen to good people, and I'd answer it. Well, he didn't like that. He didn't want answers. He wanted to prove that he was right with his mentality. And one day he got right in my face and thought he was going to intimidate me. And I said, "Listen, I want you to understand something. You can't threaten me with heaven. You can kill me right now and I just go to heaven." I said, "What you need to stop doing is thinking you know everything. Obviously you don't, or you wouldn't be here right now." And I preached the gospel to him again. I didn't want to be there, folks. I didn't like working there. The sound when you walk through there and they clank, about four different layers of clank, and you know you're in there. Ain't no getting out. And when the riots happened, that's why some of them died. Then some of the guards died. I didn't like being there, but God saw fit that that's where I ended up and gave me the opportunity, so I preached the gospel.
Amen.
And you can do that no matter where you are. And if you're not, it's just, I'm not trying to put you down or browbeat you, but wherever you are in your life, where you work, what you're doing, you need to start looking at it from this perspective. God has put you there. And, you know, some people have this super spiritual thing. They say, "Well, I'll know when God puts me in a place where I..." No, God has put you in the place. Where? Where you are. That's your place. Now, get busy. Be a witness with the way you live. Pray for those people. Plant the seeds, preaching the gospel, and just watch for every opportunity. Amen. And some of you may not even feel like you have purpose in your life because you go to work and you don't think of your job that way. You start thinking of it that way, you'll start to see you have purpose. Read verse 13 with me. so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Palace and places. Now you say, imagine going to prison and you celebrate the good in it. No one in here is in that bad a condition. I don't care how bad you think your job is, it's not prison. And you could get another job if you wanted to. You go to prison, you don't have a choice. And celebrating the good in it. And it says the palace. Because Paul was incarcerated. But instead of being silenced, because you think you put him in prison, it shuts him up. That's not how it happens. When you put a Spirit-filled man or woman in prison, you just open the doors for a new ministry. I tell people all the time, if I ever get thrown in prison, that's when my prison ministry begins. Yes. Amen. And that should be true of everyone in this room. It shouldn't be because you did something like, you know, selling drugs or something like that. But even if you fell and you did that, God saw fit that you paid the price for it, you went to prison, you get right with God, you can start a prison ministry. Amen. Jesus actually prophesied that about Paul. He gave a prophecy to Ananias in Acts 9:15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So Paul, how did he get to testify before kings? He got thrown in prison. And we see this fulfilled in Acts as Paul eventually is taken to Rome. Acts 28:16, and when he came to Rome, who's at Rome? Caesar. Caesar's king. The centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And you just see these soldiers. They'd go on 4-hour shifts. And they'd come in, they'd sit down. 4 hours later, the other guy gets there. I'm so glad to see you. This guy's trying to make me a Christian. And so the next guy come in, sits down. He wasn't allowed to beat him. He wasn't allowed to gag him. He had to sit there and listen. Paul had a captive audience. Every 4 hours, somebody showed up. Yeah. This has happened to some of you in here. Something happens, you end up in the hospital. And those nurses will come in at the most inopportune times. Amen. But you know what you can do? Make them feel as uncomfortable as you do. Preach the gospel. Amen. They wake you up 7 a.m. Sorry to wake you up here at 5 a.m. to give you a pill. You know, oh, okay, that's okay. I was just dreaming about heaven. Are you ready to go to heaven? And giving you your IV, getting you ready there. Say, you know, if you just turn to Jesus Christ and believe on Him, you'd go to heaven. Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't want to suffer for Jesus. So she said, wait till after they stick you. That's kind of one of my concerns about witnessing at restaurants. You know? You don't want to make them angry until after you get your food. I've thought of that, and I thought, well, Lord, you know, if they do something bad to my food, I'm doing it for you. So, great is my reward. So, yeah. But when we come to the end of our study in Philippians, we're going to be reminded of the fruit that Paul bears as a result of his life ending. If you got thrown into prison, you could say, my life is over. Paul bore fruit. We'll see in chapter 4, verse 22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of who? Caesar's household.